Now, this brings up the question as to what is meant by the second death has no power. I believe that this is fully covered by Mrs. Eddy's statement in Science and Health as followed. Marginal heading, second death. Quote, "Existence continues to be a belief of corporeal sense until the science of being is reached. Error brings its own self-destruction, both here and hereafter, for mortal mind creates its own physical conditions. Death will occur on the next plane of existence, as on this, until the spiritual understanding of life is reached. Then, and not until then, will it be demonstrated that the second death has no power." Close quote. From this, it would appear that the second death of which she speaks has to do with material existence after what is termed death. As I said before, we must be clear in our understanding that anything that is said in connection with death has to refer only to material existence and its attendant phenomena. It could have no reference whatever to immortal man, because immortal man has no connection with or reference to material man. Therefore, both the first death and the second death must refer to material existence before and after what is termed death. Clearly, the first death with which a mortal is confronted is the death of the material body. That death may be accomplished in one of two ways. It may be accomplished by the individual passing on as mortal man in the experience of what you and I term death. It may be accomplished through translation of the individual from the material to the spiritual by means of pure spiritual understanding. In either case, we have what is termed the first death. St. Paul speaks in one of his epistles of dying daily, meaning by that the overcoming of carnal beliefs through spiritual understanding. This dying daily would or could be termed the first death, although one's spiritual understanding might not be sufficient to have accomplished the translation at the time of death. Of course, if one were spiritually clear enough to be able to overcome matter entirely without going through the experience of death, it is evident that he would never again come under the claim of death. Mrs. Eddy tells us that as long as we live in a material state, even though that material state continues after what we term death, we shall be subject to the claim of death until we overcome the claim through spiritual understanding. By that, I take it to mean that unless one becomes sufficiently spiritually minded to overcome the claims of matter and death, he will be subject to death as often as his experience presents that condition. And that might be many times, and throughout time indefinitely. If one, through spiritual understanding, overcomes the belief in matter sufficiently to have overcome matter, then that would be called the first death, and naturally one would not be subject to a subsequent claim of death, and obviously there would be no second death, and thus the second death would have no power. In one place in her writings, Mrs. Eddy says that to those who pass on with enough spiritual enlightenment, the second death will have no power. By that, I assume she means that even though we have not arrived at the stage where we have been able to overcome matter and death entirely in the first instance, yet, if we pass on with sufficient spiritual understanding, then the experience through which we pass will sufficiently clarify consciousness so that the demonstration of complete dominion will be made without any further experience along that line. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, he was bringing out the fact that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or spiritual existence, Nicodemus must regenerate consciousness to the point where matter would be overcome through spiritual understanding. The experience of rebirth is what you and I are undergoing hourly. In order to put off matter with its claims to mortality and death, each one of us must be mentally born of spirit. And that, of course, is an individual undertaking. I would not say that human or material birth is the death referred to as the first death. And I would not say, from what Mrs. Eddy has written on this point, that our present material existence is a state of probation after death. The only death which could possibly constitute the first death would be the death of what we call matter, or the material body. There could be no death before that time, because material existence does not represent anything but an individual state of consciousness. It has no connection with the real man, and is not a perversion of spiritual life, because life cannot be perverted. By concluding that material birth is the first death, and material existence is the state of probation after death, we are assuming that material existence has something, somewhere, to do with spiritual existence, and its misstatement by mortal man. The real and spiritual life of man is never changed. It is never touched by the material sense of life. And material birth is in no way a misstatement of spiritual life, nor does it interfere with the real existence of the individual. Mrs. Eddy points to Jesus' experience in the tomb and his resurrection from the grave with the same material body that he had before death as proof of a probationary state beyond the grave. That probationary state, she points out clearly, is the state of existence which a mortal experiences after he has passed through what is termed the first death. As I see it, there might be any number of what would be called second deaths. For a mortal who had never reached a state of spiritual understanding sufficient to free him from the belief of matter. Clearly, Mrs. Eddy's reference to the first death is that which mortals experience at the end of what we call material life, and the second death is that which we experience as a part of our existence after what we term death. Keep in mind that material existence, the first death and the second death, and the state beyond the grave, are simply individual mental phenomena which have nothing to do with our state of spiritual existence. Mortal man is not spiritual man gone wrong. Mortal man and all the phenomena of material existence through death and thereafter is a mental illusion. When we, through spiritual enlightenment, awake from the illusion, we will find our true status as unfallen children of God. Everything that you will ever accomplish in Christian Science will be the result of your individual prayer. Immerse yourself in prayer. It is not necessary to always direct your work to a particular end or for a definite outlined purpose. Prayer consists in a clear realization of what God really is and of man's condition as his expression. Contemplate on this long, seriously, consecratedly, without reference to matter, mortal man, individual problems, and the like. Immerse yourself in the realization of the complete wholeness of deity and his reflection. The nothingness of matter cannot come as a complete conviction until the wholeness of spirit is mentally attained. You cannot work against matter or material conditions. You do not do your mental work to realize the nothingness of matter. Your work is to establish in consciousness the allness of spirit and spiritual ideas. And this automatically and conclusively establishes in consciousness the nothingness of matter. When you can unsee matter and realize man as existing, distinct and separate from what is called the mortal body and a material environment, you can then make those declarations of truth with a conviction that will heal the sick. That's the end of this address.